Hello and welcome from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. This podcast you're about to hear was recorded at our Booragoon campus. So sit back, relax, and enjoy what God has to say to you.
Such a privilege to be with you today. If I haven't met you already, my name is Craig Palmer, and I have the privilege of being a young adults and discipleship pastor. And our title today is Make Disciples. So you think, like, this is my sweet spot. So 15 hours ahead of us, information download. No, not at all. A couple of years ago, I came into this role as discipleship pastor. And it's not like no one's doing discipleship. That is not what that's about. But it's a sense of a role around being a catalyst towards adding value in this space and helping us to go a little bit deeper into what it means today. And I guess the challenge that I want to put forward to us today is Jesus said to his disciples the words, make disciples. So disciples making disciples, and that's going to be a feature of what I want to speak to you about today. You know, Jesus had spent 3 years with those disciples, investing in them, showing them about the words that he's speaking, the way he lived his life, the works that he did, and he wanted to draw them into that and say, you've learned so much, I want to take you into places where you're going to do that for others as well. So my question to you today is, do you know what it is to be a disciple making disciple? If you had a conversation after this time together and someone asked you that question, do you know how to make a disciple? What would your answer be? I know about 10 or 12 years ago, I was pastoring, and it dawned on me that I didn't really have a really good answer to that question. I'd learnt how to preach, I'd learnt how to pastorally care for people, I'd learnt how to organise people to get together and learn about the things of God, but my answer was not very clear about how I'm helping to make disciples and other disciples make disciples, so that we'd see this multiplication take effect. And God's taken me on quite a journey through lots of other people's help, just to kind of inspire that in my life. And today I just want to there's a little extended intro to kind of sit in these words of Jesus, his invitation to us. And firstly, I just want to kind of use the words and punch back into that space of where he says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey. So that's, if you want to be a disciple, let's start at that place first. And it includes being baptized in the family of God. Baptized into the family of God. Baptized in the Spirit, baptized by water. You know, we've had the invitation if you would like to be baptized. There's an opportunity to chat about that in a couple of weeks, and there's going to be a message with more detail in a couple of weeks as well. But baptism just seems... It means to be immersed. And it says, baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's being immersed in the family of God. That's the spiritual activity that goes with the functional we baptize in water. It's that starting point, taking on the life, the empowerment, and the blessings of being connected with the creator of this universe. But there's a second part around learning to obey Jesus' commands. You know, what Jesus is sharing, he's sharing to his disciples and he's coming from the direction of, this is what I want you to do. But we're kind of doing a little bit of reverse look at this, and we can see that actually the baptism and the learning to obey Jesus' commands is going beyond the content of his commands and learning how to live into his commands. That's what he's been doing for those 3 years with his disciples. Dallas Willard, he loves to talk about discipleship, and he summarized kind of to be a disciple in the first century. A disciple or apprentice is simply someone who has decided to be with another person under certain conditions in order to become capable of doing what that person does or become what that person is. And as a disciple of Jesus, he says, I am with him by choice and by grace, learning from him how to live in the kingdom of God. And two simple questions that we use often in ministry here, and it's becoming more and more of a thing that we say as we look at these words, because when we learn to obey, we need to first know, what is God saying? That's how you learn. What is the ways he is revealing himself to us? He reveals himself through scripture, which we're looking at today. He reveals himself as we pray and we position ourselves before him, spirit to spirit. He reveals himself through circumstances. He reveals himself through the community that we gather with. God has things to say to us, but he's also saying, will you obey? Will you do what I'm asking you to do? So as disciples, we're learning to do that over and over again in every facet of our life. Dallas Willard, he's got a particular way of expressing this, and he says, discipleship is the process of becoming who Jesus would be if he were you. Try and get your head around that a little bit. Discipleship is the process of becoming who Jesus would be if he were you. And he gives the example of his own life. Dallas Willard, he was a professor in a research university, and he says, as Jesus' apprentice, I constantly have before me the question of how would he deal with students and colleagues in the specific connections involved in such a role that he has as a professor? How would Jesus design a course and why? How would he compose a test, administer it, and grade it? What would his research projects be and why? How would he teach this course or that course? You can see how he's actually like, I want to live the life of Jesus in my day-to-day. I'm thinking about that all the time. So how would that look for you in your life as a disciple? Becoming who Jesus would be if he were you. Hopefully that's something for you to chew on this coming week, you know, in the coming hours and week, to try that out, to kind of test what would that look like. But as we can see from what Jesus said to his disciples, he didn't say, be a disciple, although that is part of what he's hoping. But the invitation is, make disciples. Be a disciple who makes disciples. So the awesome thing to know is that if you know what it is to be a disciple, listening to God's voice and doing what he says, you have all the ingredients to make a disciple. Even from the first day that you become a disciple. You can only take people as far as you've been, but if you've become a disciple, that's where you've been. You've started that journey. You can share that. You can talk to people about that. You have heard God's voice and you've responded in faith. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that shortly. So to be a disciple-making disciple, you've been baptized, but you begin baptizing. You've been learning, but Jesus is inviting you to teach others to obey Jesus' commands. Help them listen to God's voice. What is he saying? Even asking that question of one another. What is God saying? We're trying to solve all the problems of the world, but let's just pause for a moment and say, what is God saying in this situation? What has he said in his word? How does that push forward into the now? And the second question, what will we do about it? What will we respond in obedience to what he's asking us to do? I get to say these words many times in a week, and I love it because everyone is different. Every situation is different. God is saying something very uniquely to each person that I get to talk with. He's saying unique things to me. It never gets boring. And sometimes when we sit with people, we say, let's look at Scripture for the answers. You know, what's a relevant passage? What's a relevant part of Scripture that speaks a story that speaks into your situation? Let's look at that. We're spending quite a bit of time with our young adult connect groups and doing some of this right at this stage to teach them to hear God's voice and do what He says. Because often we get to the end of a study looking at God's word and we're like, we could do this. This is all the applications that could happen. And then we leave it at that. But the real question is to go to that next step. What am I going to do about it? That's a could be, but what will be? How will we engage that? So as a way of summarizing, we're going to put these two things together. There's a disciple being baptized, learning how to obey the commands of Jesus. But a disciple making disciple is baptizing and teaching, helping people do these two things, listen and obey. That's the simplicity of it. A little while back, we had a guest speaker, Bob Wronglian, and he put up these images on the screen. He talked about being a sheep and a shepherd. You might remember that for those that are here. We are a sheep from the front. We're following Jesus. We're seeking to learn what it means to obey His commands. But from behind, we can look like a shepherd if we are going to be disciple-making disciples, helping others, teaching, leading them somewhere, leading them to Jesus. What's your journey of discipleship? As you sit in these chairs today, there's a reason you're here. Someone has invested in you to this point. Who are those people? So that's the first question. Who discipled you? Was it your parents? Was it a youth group leader? A friend? A spouse even? Who is that for you? And I encourage you to thank them. If you haven't done that already in the past, well, maybe just do it again. To text them, to email them, give them a call if you've got their contact details and you've got a way of expressing your thanks to them. Maybe it's the example they was. You just watched them from afar and you saw that is a person that's following Jesus. Another person might come close and they've spoken into your life and they've showed you, they've unpacked it for you. Now, I've had disciples in my life of my parents. There's a gentleman some might know, Steve McKinnon. He runs Prison Fellowship WA now. And at a Baptist camp as a young guy, he invested into me over that short period of time. But I've got a letter that he wrote to me after the camp, encouraging me in the things of God. I had my uncle from a young age who'd written to me and said, I could see you being a pastor one day. I did not think of anything of it at the time until I became a pastor. I'm like, oh, yeah. Like he was ahead of his time. God does that. I've had people invest in me in so many different ways. So that's the first question. Who has discipled you? The second question is maybe a little bit harder to answer. Who has discipled you to know how to make disciples? Do you have confidence to do that? Can you imagine? I know what it is to make a disciple. I know some of the steps. I know some of the ways to engage that, to help people listen to God and do what He says. Who has spoken into your life in the way that Jesus spoke into the disciples' life? He did that training over those 3 years to say, he started with, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And he went on to a task of training them into the skills and characters and the values of the kingdom. And he kind of let them loose to have a go for a season and he kind of corrected them as they went. He was showing them how to make disciples, how to be disciples who could make disciples. He would enrich their life in a way that his command, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Simple words, love one another, it's hard to do, to constantly keep loving one another. Simple words, hard to do. So we're learning to put that into practice. That's the listen and obey. And Jesus was showing disciples day after day what that really looked like. Now, if I think of the people who have shown me, and maybe they showed me when I was young, but I didn't pay attention. And so as in the last few years, I've probably had some people around me who were able to more specifically say, this is how you make a disciple. And I'm like, that really does make sense. That's very helpful. I think of a guy, a mentor of mine, Rich, who asked the deep question of, do you have a life that is worth imitating? And he would tell us stories about how he would invest in his family. And I'm like, that's making disciples. He's showing me what it really looks like. Another mentor talks to me about multiplication and building a big picture for a global movement. I'm not in a global movement yet, but I've got a picture of it from someone else. A friend, Andy, who showed me how to be generous in the way God is generous. A friend, Sean, who spoke into something about the prophetic gifting and hearing God for others. So that's my intro. I did say it was going to be 15 hours. No, not at all. But I just wanted to land that idea of being a disciple making disciple. Because the scripture I was actually meant to look at today is from Romans 10. And some of you might be familiar with this scripture, and we're going to spend a little bit of time in that and see how it links to what I've already said. So Romans 10, there's a little bit of a setting there that actually Paul has a passion to see Israel saved, the Israelites saved. He's an Israelite himself. God has, through Jesus, called him to a ministry to the Gentiles, but he hasn't forgotten the people of Israel. And in the context of this passage, we're going to look at Romans 10 from verse 9. But just before it, there's this context of actually he's using a fragments of the speech of Moses. And we know Moses spoke to the Israelites to give them the law, and he encouraged them to actually, you've got a choice between life and death. And I want you to choose life. And he told them all the ways that they can engage this and how God, he just passed on God's message. And Paul links all this discussion about Moses and the message that he held, and he wants to connect it to the idea that that message was really close to the people. They knew what Moses was saying. It was close, but often the Israelites just did not take hold of it. They didn't really live into it. And he's saying the same challenge is there for the good news of Jesus. And he's saying, he kind of quotes something that Moses said. And he said, the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That's how close it is. It's like right there in you. And kind of a modern phrase would be, put your money where your mouth is. He's like, step into this. You've kind of got this idea, but I want you to step into it. And so we read these words from verse 9, Romans 10. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. And as scripture says, you know, Paul always quoting Old Testament scriptures to kind of undergird that this is continuity with the message God has already said. As the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So where are we going with this passage? And in one sense, I'm going to do a little detour away from the make disciples thing and think right now with the passage that we hear there about stepping into confessing Jesus as Lord, believing in your heart that he has been raised from the dead. Jesus came with a mission on earth to actually come and crush sin and death by going to his own death on a cross. He took the punishment that was due to us. You know, we hear about this in the Easter story, and we've heard this many times. We've sung about it today. He makes a way for us to have a relationship with God for eternity. You might know this story many times before. You've heard it many times before, but you've never actually taken the step to put your faith in Jesus. To put your money with your mouth is, as in the word is close, it's there, but the faith has not been extended. This is not a trite formula to kind of trick God into letting you get into heaven, to confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that he's raised from the dead. It's about surrender. You know, as a 13-year-old, I think it was, back, and I might have told this story before, I'm going to tell it again. The Gulf War was on, 1991, and it freaked me out. There was talk of ballistic missiles flying around from side to side. You know, where are they going to end up? Is the conflict going to come close to us? And it was one of those places where, you know, in the first couple of days of the televised, you know, the army coming in and all that kind of thing, and it freaked me out to see that. And I had a question. Am I a disciple? Am I a follower of Jesus? Can I know for sure that I will be saved? You know, I'd had this kind of commitment of faith that Jesus was my Savior as an age of 7. But in sense from that point, I'd had this kind of lukewarm kind of faith. And in my heart of hearts that day, I was like, I need to put my money where my mouth is. I've known all this stuff since I was born. I've been raised in it. But I want to know that I'm safe in your hands. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I want to be ready no matter what happens around this place. And I walked out of my room, which I'd been hiding in for the last 24 hours or so, away from all the noise of the war, with an assurance that I was saved. Now, I'm pretty sure God was sure, but I wasn't sure. So I kind of needed to confess it and believe it, to live into it, to actually say, this is what I want. And I know it's what he wants for me. So maybe today is your day to do that. Will you go beyond the doubt? Will you express faith? Do not hesitate. As the scripture says, there is no shame in knowing Jesus as Lord, that he has risen from the dead. There is no shame. And I felt that from that point on. I was, you know, nervous at times around different people, but I knew I was with God for eternity. You can have that assurance today. I encourage you to speak with a friend. Would love to pray with you after if that's your reality today. Be sure. Talk to God about it. And in case you missed it, this is access to all. As those verses said, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, richly blesses all who call on him, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But then Paul raises an issue that is present in sharing the good news of Jesus. He goes on to say, you know, everyone has a chance to call on the name of the Lord and they'll be saved. But he says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And he's asking this question. How are people going to take hold of this good news? They had Moses in the past, and they kind of heard it, but they ignored it. Well, what about the Gentiles? What about everyone that's present right now? Who's going to share it with them? How are they going to hear? And he kind of goes through this process of reverse engineering to kind of really bring people forward into answering this question. Now, if you didn't know already, and I've shared it in other times, in my past, I was an engineer, mechanical engineer. And I'm pretty sure he wouldn't have used this term, Paul, but he's kind of doing some reverse engineering in these verses. When I was an engineer, we had to often fix stuff, and we didn't always have the parts, so we couldn't access parts. They're either too old or we couldn't get them quick enough because they had to come from Europe or something like that. So we had to find a way to make our own. And we would measure them up and we'd unpack all the bits that are in it, and this is how it's made. And we would try and make it ourselves to fit it in to fix the problem. So I've, as a good engineer does, I've got a little process to unpack what we've just seen in those scriptures. And it's just visual, up like this. How is someone going to call on the Lord if they don't have a chance to believe? That's the next step. How are they going to believe? What's the next part? How are they going to believe if they have not heard? How are they going to hear if no one preaches, it says in the word, but I'm not saying you can't be a part of this because you're not preaching on the platform, so I'm using the word tell. It's proclaim. How do they hear if no one tells them? And how will someone tell them if they haven't been sent? If they don't know this is what life is aimed at. This is, I'm sent by Jesus. Make disciples. A disciple making disciples. You know, an image that goes along, you know, there we have, I think some of the graphics is lost in the way that's coming up on the screen. But on one side, we have a disciple needing a disciple maker. A disciple hearing, believing, and calling upon the Lord. But a disciple maker who is telling them and is sent, who has that in their mind. We are a people who are called to pass on the baton of faith, not just for one generation to become a disciple. We've had people go before us who spoke into our lives, who discipled us, who called us into the things of Jesus, who helped us think about what is God saying and what are we going to do about it. So this picture of the baton, of passing on the baton. If that can come up. Thanks, Ross. Thank you. That's one single generation. But disciples making disciples is a bit more like this. One baton passed on to the next, onto the next, onto the next. That's how we want to be thinking about our disciple making. Not just one generation, many, many generations. And that picture we had before of discipling to faith and discipling in faith, that's what we're going to be doing. We're helping people to hear God for the first time, respond in faith. But it's not over then, is it? We're discipling them in faith, in teaching them to obey Jesus' commands. And I want to tell you just a few quick stories of how that's already happening in the life of Mounties. The first one is amongst our young people, our AMP youth. I think some of our volunteers and our youth are some of our hardest working volunteers in the life of our church. There's like 200 hours minimum that they kind of give towards, you know, that ministry in the year. It's amazing. And one of the beauties about what happens in the life of Mounties over many years is actually there's a commitment from our youth leaders, often, and many make it through, to connect with people at the age of year 7 and walk with them all the way through to year 12. That's 6 years commitment. That's amazing. There's not many places that have that happening. They are discipling them to faith and in faith through that time. That's an amazing commitment. We've seen leaders who both experienced that as youth and have gone back to do that for others. That's disciples making disciples. And often those leaders are still trying to work out their own faith as they're doing this. You know, they're wrestling with things about, do I want to own this for myself? And yet they're trying to pass on at least what they understand about who God is. The second thing that's happening just right now is our Alpha course that's happening. Working as a team, there's inviters, there's hospitality, there's group facilitators, there's leaders of leaders, there's follow-up people planned for the future, and they're speaking to people maybe that have heard this for the first time, or maybe the fifth time, or the 100th time, but they want to be people who have this message of the good news of Jesus come into themselves so deep that they can explain it to others. A third place where disciples are making disciples is amongst our grandparents. Many of you might find yourself in that place, and there's actually a group of ladies in particular who have the conviction to pray for their grandchildren within their families. They call it the prayer bowl, and if you're curious about that and you want to join, then we can definitely lead you into that. But there's been an offshoot of ladies from that group praying into people who are prodigals, those that have walked away from faith in Jesus. And there's even an invitation for you to join, you know, at Seeds Prayer Room at the back there on, I think it's Tuesday mornings, 9 to 9:30, if you'd have a heart for that, to pray into that as well. These people are praying, but not only interceding for the people in their lives, but actually it's a way of listening to, okay, God, what is my action with my grandchildren? How am I investing my children and then my grandchildren? How is this going to work out? How can I hear what you're saying and do something about it? Ways that as a church that we're trying to continue to invest, even in my role as discipleship pastor, we believe that actually the leaders must go first when we're thinking about disciples making disciples. The pastoral leadership over the last year and a half have been investing in a discipling culture journey. We've been meeting together and 6-monthly intervals, getting some training and then embedding that on a fortnightly basis so that we can be people who have a clear picture of what it means to be disciples who are making disciples. We're seeking to support those that have actually, they're looking to Bible college studies and giving them a bit of a pathway into what does it mean to lead others into this journey. Not just technical knowledge, but actually how do we teach people to obey the commands that Jesus brought before us. An exciting new initiative that we hope to start in the new year is a discipleship year for 18 to 35-year-olds. And this is kind of an accelerated pathway of them to really spend some specific time embedding their own identity in Christ and how they are kingdom representatives in the world. In the marketplace, you know, that doesn't mean that they're going to go into ministry like pastoring and all that kind of thing. But what does this mean in real life? Just like Dallas Willard talked about before, when Jesus is moving in your life, how does that play out wherever you are living? And there's many more spaces in our young adults and connect groups. We have People of Peace workshops. There's many more of those kind of things to come. So as we finish today, are you clear about being a disciple who makes disciples? Do you have a picture in your mind about what that looks like? How do you engage it? If not, I encourage you to take a journey towards that direction, that we as a church might be more than just disciples, that we are disciple makers. Playing a part as a body. We don't just do it by ourselves. We share our giftings that God is giving us. We can contribute by financially sowing seed into these things. We can join teams. We can come alongside in prayer. There's so many ways that we can corporately be a church that is about disciples making disciples. So I just want to give you a time to think about these questions. Out of all the things that have been said today, what is the one thing that God is saying to you? Perhaps about being a disciple first, you know, to take that step of faith, to put your money where your mouth is. Or maybe it's that next step. of being a disciple who makes disciples. We're just going to take some time just to quietly before God ask that question, what are you saying to me, God? What do you want me to do about it? I want to be someone who listens and obeys. Let's take that time.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast brought to you from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. Our prayer is that what was said today inspires you and strengthens you in your faith. If you would like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, you can contact the team during office hours on the number you can find on our website at mounties.org.au. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to having your company again soon. God bless.